السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ulama Profile Program with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. And you're with me, inshallah, for another hour or so. It is the 28th of September and we are in the month of Muharram al-Haram. When I was growing up, and as I would grow up, I'd seen many people, many ulama would come. But one vivid memory that I have is at the day of Eid, for couple of Eid, one of the great ulama and scholars of the time, Hazrat Maulana Mangli Rahmatullahi Alayhi, I vividly remember him giving that khutbah and the lecture at the day of Eid in his own charismatic and beautiful way. And Maulana Mangli Rahmatullahi Alayhi is one of those people who had served the community of Benoni and the other communities as well. And it is with the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are going to be speaking to his son, Brother Ismail, who will be giving us insight into the life of Maulana Mangli Rahmatullahi Alayhi. If you have family, or if you knew Maulana, or if you would like to interact with us, a reminder, it's an open line, so you can give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. Give us a call, inshallah, if you knew Maulana, you interacted, or you had something to share, your grandchild, or you somebody from Maulana's family that remembers something very vividly that we could learn from. Also, if you are a community member, Benoni, wherever Maulana served, and if you could give us a call, alternatively, send me a message. My WhatsApp number is 071-878-9748. And inshallah, I would read your messages on air. Join with us this evening. We have Maulana's son Ismail. Brother Ismail, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
JazakAllah so much for taking out your time this Thursday evening to share with us regards to your honorable father.
Ji, Maulana.
Maulana, I must say, your honorable father is one of the very early ulama-i kiram that went to Darul Uloom Deoband to study. But before we get to that aspect, let's get into the brief family history. Do you want to give us a little bit of a brief family history with regard to Maulana and his lineage, etc., Ismail?
See, Alhamdulillah, Maulana, my father was a person from the local. He was born in 1930 on the 1st of August in Nelspruit. Apparently, he was born with a family siblings of 13 siblings.
Subhanallah.
And they originated from Nelspruit with a lineage from his father that comes from the Ansar clan from the Persian Gulf. So my father at that time was a little boy here in Nelspruit who left for South Africa, who left South Africa at a very young age to further his studies in Deen. And all this was all due to a very great Maulana at that time, known as Maulana Rashid Bhatti, who was very instrumental in arranging for him to proceed to India.
Brother Ismail, Maulana Rashid?
Maulana Rashid Bhatti.
Bhatti, okay.
Maulana Rashid Bhatti was the tutor of my father and found the intellectual knowledge that my father had and arranged for him. At a very early age, he left for India to further his studies in Deen. And at that time, it was arranged for him to leave Nelspruit and go out to do his studies.
So basically, your father's schooling and all of that initially would have been done in Nelspruit, the primary schooling, etc., and obviously growing up would be there, Brother Ismail.
Well, according to some members of the family, whom he has only one sister from the 13 siblings that they were born from their parents,
okay,
and one of the elder cousins in the family, have given me indication that my father left at a very early age. It could be under the age of 10 years old.
Oh, okay. He so he left at a very, very young age to go and
study. Very young age. And his schooling, tertiary, I mean, his normal schooling, English schooling, was basically just probably grade 1 and grade 2.
Grade 1 and grade, something like that,
but because he left very early.
Okay.
And he was sent across to India to go and study. So that's what his basic family background is all about.
All about. Respected listeners, we are speaking about Maulana Noor Ali Sheikh Mangli, who was originally from Mersbrae and obviously then settled down in Benoni. And we are speaking to his son, Brother Ismail, who is giving us a little bit of family background. Ismail, would you know then when Maulana left to study in India, where would Maulana study?
Yes, I've got a note of that, Maulana. Apparently, my father was sent down to India, and he started off at the Darvel Darul Ulum first.
Okay.
That is in Darvel. And then thereafter, he moved over to Deoband, to Deoband.
Okay.
Deoband Darul Ulum.
Maulana, your father, was the senior to Maulana Ayub and Maulana Abbas Jinnah as well. So Maulana Abbas was telling me today that Maulana Noor Ali was in the time of Maulana Yusuf Pandor and in the time of Maulana Yusuf Monia, at that time already he was studying. So the listeners, to give you a little bit of an understanding, at the time of Darul Ulum Deoband, from the very first ulama that went, from amongst them and the seniors would be the likes of Maulana Monia, Maulana Yusuf Pandor, Maulana Noor Ali Sheikh. They were from the more senior ulama that visited them. Then came the time of Maulana Yusuf Karan, Maulana Ayub, Maulana Abbas, Maulana Ibrahim Adam. But obviously Maulana Noor Ali being from the earlier time.
And one thing in that era when he was there, Maulana, it was the late Mufti Maulana Bashir Sanjalvi that was in this group.
Okay.
Maulana Abdul Razak, that's from Ladysmith, that was in group.
Okay.
Mufti Maulana Pandor, that was in his group. And Mufti Maulana Patel, that lived in London, that was in his group. Those were his colleagues, and at the time when they went across, they were all together, they moved in together and studied all together.
Okay, so these are the contemporaries of Maulana while he was studying.
Those were his colleagues. And from Deoband he went to Randir Darul Ulum.
Okay.
And then from there, he went to Surat, at the Darul Ulum in Surat. And there, in that period, Maulana, that is where he actually studied under Hazrat Maulana Abu Shifa.
Okay.
Apparently Maulana Abu Shifa taught him tip, which is Hakim work and medicine.
Okay.
But while he was in Deoband, it was believed that he was under Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Madani was his tutor.
Hussein Ahmad Madani,
Hussein Ahmad Madani, that was his tutor.
Probably he would be one of the last from the South Africans with Maulana Moni and Maulana Pandor that studied under Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani, rahmatullah alayh.
Yes, and also to another great Maulana that my father made a lot of khidmat, and he was graduated through his hands. I don't know if it was in Deoband or in Randir, but it was the late Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullah.
Okay, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh, never taught in Deoband. He was based in Tana Bowen. So it was probably that he went to there when it was holidays or something, or the weekend that he would go there.
Yes, I was told that he was in his company and made a lot of khidmat to him in his period of holiday time. That is where he was sent, and he loved to be with Hazrat Maulana Thanvi, rahmatullah. Yeah, he did his khidmat and he stayed with him. And his graduation, on his graduation certificates, Maulana, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi, rahmatullah's name is quite clearly spelled out there, and his signature to the qualification. And this was told to me by my late father, that that shawl that they give you when you graduate was handed over to him and placed over his shoulders by Hazrat Maulana Thanvi, rahmatullah.
Subhanallah, man.
So he has been under a great ulama at the time of his time.
So then after that, when your father completed his studies, then he came back to South Africa?
No, Maulana, he did not come back to South Africa. When he completed his studies in Darvel and Deoband,
right,
apparently they found him to be too young to come back to South Africa.
Okay.
He was too young to come back to South Africa, and according to the family history, his brothers told him to further his studies. That's where he became a Islamic judge. It's called, I don't know if it's the right word, Qazi.
A Qazi, okay.
Qazi. He learned that for another 4 years, and then he went on to go. He went to Aligarh University, where he furthered his further studies, and he went to do more on medicine.
Subhanallah.
So he's been through quite. He came back from India when he was at the age of 27 or 29 years of age.
So that means you would have probably spent, Ismail, about 18 years in India?
To be correct, Maulana, he spent 21 years.
21 years?
21 years he spent in
India. SubhanAllah, man.
21 years. That's the amount of time that he has spent in India. So it's a quite a long history of him in all the various years of his studies. And with the amount of people, with the various colleagues that he was with.
So within that period of time, is there any recall from the family whether he came home or whether it was just continuous study?
No, it was continuous study. He never came home in that 21 years of his study. He never came home.
Respected listeners, for us it is a great lesson. I think for a person to leave at the age of 8 or 9 years old, around that time, probably 10, to spend 21 years in the search of knowledge and the great scholars is an amazing feat. Even in today's time, for a person to spend that amount of time and not come home, and after 21 years, when you come back home, the entire landscape, never mind of the country, of your family has changed. Who was young and your brother that was there is now married with children. And that is how the sacrifices of our ulama-i-kiram and our seniors were at that time. And for you and I, a great and important lesson to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all the understanding. We are speaking about Maulana Shinoor Ali Sheikh Mangli from Nelspruit originally. If you knew Maulana, if you interacted with him, if you are a family member, give us a call or on the number 011-854-1548. Brother Usama will take your call. Alternatively, you can drop me a WhatsApp message. The number is 071-878-9748. Brother Ismail, please do continue.
One of the greatest things in my life of my father was that when I traveled to India at the age of 31 years old, I was given a description of Hazrat Maulana Abu Shifa that lived in Surat.
Okay.
And my father, I asked him, because I visited all these universities that I mentioned to you,
okay,
in the other rooms. I went to go and visit them where my father was. And I only managed to meet this particular Maulana, Hazrat Maulana Abu Shifa, in person. And I took a gift for him because my father was in contact with him all the time.
Okay.
And I was very, very fortunate to meet this ustad of my father's. And
right,
this man was responsible. In fact, he showed me where my father slept next to him. He showed me what my father's duties were in his home, and how he taught my father. And my father spent 3 years living with him, learning the work of Shifa, work of medicine of Hakim, under Hazrat Maulana Abu Shifa. And if you look at him, Maulana Abu Shifa, to my greatest surprise, the nur on his face, he had a beard which we hear people wear, you know, fully grown, but his beard was one hair on the left, one hair on the right, one hair in the center of his chin. But the nur and glamour that came out from that one strand of hair is unimaginable. You cannot imagine how much nur shone out of that.
SubhanAllah.
The light that came out of that. And he was so happy that I came introducing myself and brought a gift from my father to him to say, I'm the son of Nur Ali Sheikh Mangli. He grabbed me and held me almost 10 minutes in close to his chest and cried on my shoulder, which is not worth crying for the type of person I am. And I was just nothing, and here I'm standing in front of a great ulama that was the ustad of my father. It gave me so much honor to meet a man like that.
So, Subhanallah.
That is one highlight in my life which I really appreciated. At least I've met one usar of my father.
Of your father. Obviously, because your father qualified at such a young age, and many of them were very elderly at the age he was studying, so it would have been difficult to meet most of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afforded you the opportunity to meet, obviously, Hakim Saab, rahmatullahi alayhi. Subsequent to that, what year would your father then come back to South Africa?
Mawlana, I would say he would have come back to South Africa in 1957-58.
Okay.
That's the year he came back from India.
Tell me, before we go, your father's kitabs and his what we call the sanad, the chain of narrators, and that, does the family still have those things in their possession?
No, Mawlana, I distributed it out.
Okay.
And there were some pupils were from Darul Uloom Zakaria, Darul Uloom from Azadville.
Okay.
Which I had some ulama to come and read it. And there were books taken away what they needed, because most of my father's books were in Farsi,
okay,
not in Urdu, and they could not understand it in Farsi. So they told me these books they cannot remove, but the ones that were all in the Urdu text, they took what they could take, which could be used for other students or used by the madrasa itself.
Right.
Yeah.
So not a problem. So we're discussing Maulana Noor Ali Sheikh Mangli, and if you knew Maulana, give us a call. Alternatively, drop us a WhatsApp. The number is 071-878-9748.
Jee,
do carry on, Ismail.
Then I can move on to tell you that when my father completed his studies, he came back into South Africa, and after his qualifications, he started in Nell Street with the late Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Khalil, that was teaching with him at the madrasa in Nell Street. And it was brought to my notice when I had done some of the history of it, that my father introduced the first ever library in a madrasa that was connected globally with news and reviews in the Muslim world, which he started in Nell Street. And there was no madrasa in the whole of South Africa that had a library. And he started this library that was connected throughout the world, and they were receiving mail and posting mail away from Nell Street, sharing Islamic knowledge.
Okay,
while he was in the time of in the madrasa in Nell Street. In 1966-70, he made hijrah to Boksburg North. And he took up work in Boksburg North. There was a vacancy there, and he moved on further. And when at the time in Boksburg, we had the Group Editors Act that was going to move us to Benoni.
Okay.
From the period of 1970 to 71, he joined the Benoni Islamic Institute.
Okay.
It was not Benoni Muslim Jamaat, it was Benoni Islamic Institute, because there were two institutions, Islamic institutions. One was the Benoni Islamic Institute and one was the BMJ.
Right.
But he joined the Benoni Islamic Institute, and he acted there, and he then joined. It was his ability to amalgamate the two madrasas.
Okay.
Of the BMJ and Benoni Islamic Institute, and bring them together and make it one madrasa, Benoni Muslim Jamaat.
Jamaat.
He worked very hard to amalgamate it and move the Boksburg madrasa into this amalgamation. Then in 1970,
this was around probably the year 1972-73.
Correct, 100%. Correct, 72-73. Then in 74 to 1980, he served as a ustad for the BMJ.
From 74 to?
To 1980.
80, okay.
Yeah, he was a ustad for the BMJ, and he carried on, but in the mid-70s at the AGM meeting, he became the vice chairman of the BMJ.
Okay.
He was the vice chairman of the BMJ. And after the demise, he served under Dr. Mia, who is a quite pioneer for Benoni, who was the chairman at that time.
Okay.
And after the demise of Dr. Mia, he acted as vice chairman of BMJ for quite a number of years.
Right.
And the most amazing part, Honor, that in that era, while he was serving as the vice, as the chairman of the BMJ, he initiated at the BMJ kindergarten at the Juma Masjid in 7th Street.
He initiated?
The kindergarten school.
Oh, subhanAllah, the kindergarten.
Yeah, what Hazrat Maulana Yasin Rahim, who was running the madrasa. And also for this purpose, it was organized by my father. A bus was used for transporting the children, which my father arranged to get a bus in to pick up the children, which Maulana Rahim used to do it from, I think, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and then 9 to 11. He's in tuition from 11 to 12, drop all the children off.
SubhanAllah, man.
So that's what he initiated. And the kindergarten, alhamdulillah, today has progressed to a massive kindergarten, which is running at the BMJ.
If I understand correctly, there's more than 8 or 9 classes of the kindergarten itself. So that is how it has obviously grown from the initial stages of your father and the late Maulana Yasin Rahim, rahmatullah alayh.
Indeed, that's right. Then also very interesting, Maulana, while my father was up there in Johannesburg, while we're in there, he also was also a member on the board of what the known Vattenfall Institute.
Okay, was he part of the Mia's farm as well?
Yes, he was part of Mia's farm, and I used to go with him to the masjid, you know, in Newtown.
Okay.
That's where they used to meet with Hazrat Maulana Bashir Sanjalwi. And a few other ulama. He was on the board where decisions had to be made on various masjids to be built, positioning of toilets, position of the shower rooms, and other matters of Islamic matters that regarded more deep solutions. He was on that board where decisions had to be made.
SubhanAllah. Respected listeners, this is the life of Maulana Noor Ali Sheikh Mangli, and we are discussing and we're speaking about Maulana, and his son Ismail is with us on air, and we're going through the life of Hazrat Maulana Mangli rahmatullahi alayh. So amazing, what is something that comes about is the vast nature of services that Maulana Mangli rahmatullahi alayh had done. And just before we end the show, we will obviously go through it in much more detail, just doing a recap. But at the moment, we are busy at the time of Maulana's life, whereby it's around probably around the 1970s or 80s, where Maulana was then initiated the kindergarten at the Jamia Masjid in Actonville. And thereafter, Maulana also was at the board of the trustees of the Mia's farm, whereby decisions were made and discussions were done regarding the masjid, regarding the building of the masajid, the architecture, etc. And Maulana played a vital role in that as well. Please do carry on.
Then, as time went on, Maulana, my father served as vice chairman again under Maulana, late Maulana Hazrat Maulana Hashim, that is from Alberton. Maulana Hashim. And in 1980, a person by the name of Ismail Hafiji, who is still alive today, was the secretary of the BMJ at that time.
Right.
And he worked very closely with my father and other colleagues like the late Muhammad Bera, which everybody knows him as Joe Bera.
Right, Chi.
Chotavai Lambat.
Chi, they know him as Kofi Lambat.
Kofi, yes. Not Kofi Lambat, Chota Lambat, it's from Boxford North.
Okay.
Right. He also worked with Kofi Lambat that we know that was originally from Germiston.
Right.
And he worked with the late Ismail Baikaladia that now recently was, you see that thing in last year?
Uncle Tolls.
Then Ibrahim by Taraja and Stolls. And then also Ahmad by Suruti. He worked for these people on the board while these were his colleagues. And we must not forget, he worked also with the great man that's still alive, Kasim by Osman.
Kasim by Osman. I think he's currently in Delta, or he stays around there somewhere.
Yeah, Durban or Venda, this way he's with his son.
And then
also with a man that served the community for vast number of years, everybody knows him as Uncle Gossi, but the right name is Isubai.
Uncle
Gossi. he worked for a very long time with him also. And I've also come to find out that my father was very close associated to the YMMA that was managed by Mohammed Bhai Bhola and Ismail Bhai Bhola.
See.
And my father had a lot of interest in library work, so that's where he based his work mainly from. And they were too glad to get him in because there were a lot of questions and answers that they could not handle, and as my father, from his knowledge, could give them input on that. And at the same time, with Ismail Hafiji and Maulana Abubakar Munshi, they used to have question and answer programs on a weekly basis at the Juma Masjid, as we know, at the 17th Mosque.
Okay.
In Actonville. And this was started by my late father, Maulana Mangi, the question and answer program, which is to be after Isha Namaz on a Thursday.
Okay, and subhanAllah.
And then also he used to travel out in the neighboring towns. These two people, Ismail Hafiji, Maulana Abu Bakr, they used to travel every weekly or sometimes second week, you know, twice in a week or sometimes every third week. They used to go out to the towns nearby like Heidelberg, Stenerton, Balfour, Nigel, and he had a program made up for him, and he used to travel around doing various lecture programs with regards to topics that were chosen by the community of that town.
SubhanAllah.
And he used to go and elaborate on them and give them more knowledge of that on a regular basis. And he also had time to give them also a question and answer session whenever he has come in. Before he starts his new talk, he had a question and answer session which he made available. When he comes back the next time, they can have something for him to go on with.
Listen, before we carry on, we're going to take a quick air break, inshallah. And when we return, we will carry on our discussion with Maulana Mangri, rahmatullahi alayhi.
You're listening to Ulama Profiles on Radio Islam International.
We have online with us one of the imams of the Nelspruit area who's serving there, mashallah, for more than 20 years, I think, even take a few years. Maulana Yusuf Qadhi, Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, you from the area whereby Maulana Mangri, rahmatullah alayhi, taught in his initial stages. What can you share with us this evening, Maulana?
Well, basically, Maulana, when I came to Nelspruit in 1995, the Jamiat had sent Hazrat Maulana Noor Ali to Nelspruit to set up the syllabus and to set up the madrasa. When I came here, the madrasa was, you know, there was no proper syllabus. The classrooms also were not in a good state, where there was no boards, etc. And Maulana made a monumental effort in getting the madrasa on track, having a syllabus, and he was very instrumental in guiding me as far as how to run a madrasa and as far as being a principal in a madrasa.
What was his character like when he would come and meet with you, Maulana?
Very humble man, and very, you know, he was always there to give you motivation, always ready to help you as far as, you know, guiding you and giving you nasiha. And I'll never forget, you know, one of the Ramadans when I performed Taraweeh in the masjid, and on the 27th night we had a program in the masjid, and, you know, Maulana was like motivating the people towards contributing towards the madrasa, and he was taking pledges from the people in the masjid, you know.
SubhanAllah.
One of the elderly person stood up and said, Maulana, what are you doing now in the masjid, you know, taking pledges from people? So this is Laylatul Qadr. We're supposed to speak about Laylatul Qadr. So Maulana, in a very nice way, said, yeah, we're making Qadr of the people here so they can make Qadr of the madrasa.
Allahu Akbar, SubhanAllah.
It was such a beautiful answer he gave. where that person couldn't say anything further. He said, we're making Qadr of the people so that they can make Qadr of the madrasa. And it is Laylatul Qadr.
Subhanallah. What a lovely answer, Mawlana. Jazakallah so much for your time this evening.
Ameen. Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Here Brother Ismail, a message coming in. It says, when it was difficult to make it for Jummah Salah at the masjid, we started Jummah at the William Hill High School, and Mawlana Mangli was one of the first speakers that was there. And this comes from one of the ulama, I'm not sure whose name is it, but nevertheless, Chi. So Brother Ismail, we were busy discussing your honorable father, and obviously his time spent under Mawlana Muhammad Hashim and going around giving lectures with the different committee members of Binoni in the nearby towns. Let's take it from there and carry on. What else can we input further with regards to your father's life?
I just want to go back to where you said he introduced the Jummah at the high schools. That was done with him, with Ismail Hafiji, at that time when they did not want the pupils to go out of the school for Jummah.
Right, right.
And he also arranged, and he was also the initiator of that. And with him on that time was a brother in Binoni who was still living by the name of Mahmoud Taladia.
Gee, I know Uncle Mahmoud.
Yeah, Uncle Mahmoud was also very much instrumental in doing a lot of writing and research for my father on various what my father needed. He used to do a lot of research and recap for him, and he traveled a lot around with my father in that lecture programs. And he has put in a lot with my late dad.
Ismail, I want to take you now a little bit away. Before we carry on, we have Mawlana Musa Akudi, who is one of the leading ulama ikram of our country and one of the stalwarts of Binoni. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mawlana Musa, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, we're discussing one of the senior ulama of our country and one of the served the Binoni community for many, many years. Your input with regards to Mawlana Mangli, rahmatullahi alayhi.
Oh, Mawlana Mangli, Mawlana Mangli, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a wonderful person. He was teaching in the madrasa for a few years, after I had come to teach here at the Binoni Muslim Jamaat. And that's when I had this relationship with him, and we traveled, alhamdulillah, quite a bit as well. As far as the local situation is concerned, I remember he was instrumental and very forceful in arranging a group that was known as IRAU. It was the Eastern Alims Union.
Okay.
Right, and I think Mawlana Mufti Bojah Sahib and everybody would be knowing about that. And then we should go for lectures. I went with him to Balfour and to Heidelberg, and we went out to Nigel and then all surrounding areas. Then this particular, organization was called IRAU. And then, it didn't last for very long. Then Mawlana told me, he says, "Ab IRAU ka kirau ho gaya," So the ulama in those days will remember this particular organization, IRAU. So alhamdulillah, I had traveled with him to some of the country towns where he delivered talks and that. And I had also had the opportunity of serving with him on the Binoni Muslim Jamaat when Mawlana Hashim was the chairman. Then he was the vice chairman as well for a period of time. And, Dr. Mia, alhamdulillah, was a very, very capable person. But after his demise, then, there was a move where the ulama had come onto the helm of affairs. And with the puzzle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mawlana Hashim was then our chairman. And Mawlana Mangli served as our vice chairman as well. So that's the time when I had an opportunity to interact with him as well. A wonderful person, alhamdulillah, always concerned about the well-being of the community, and he had a very, very wonderful personality, with young and old alike. He was very, very unique. I can tell you one thing is, I remember we planned to go fishing once.
Okay.
To Namibia. and it was just Maulana Mangli and his son Ismail and my son Ibrahim and myself. Now, my son Ibrahim didn't have a passport. So my wife told me, you're going so far for fishing, you know, at least you should take your son along. So I said, but he hasn't got a passport. So my wife said, did you make any effort? So I said, well, all right, let me go tomorrow to the Home Affairs. So I had him stamped on my passport and I took him along with me. He was about 13 years old.
Right.
So now what happened is, Maulana Mangli and I, look, we were Maulana Mangli and myself and Ismail and my son. Ismail was much older than my son. And so Maulana Mangli tells my son, look here, you have to drive. Can you drive? The son says he can drive. So I think he drove about 600 kilometers or so. On our trip to Namibia. So he until today my son remembers that. He says that, you know what, this Maulana here gave me that encouragement, and you know, he uplifted me. He made me become sort of independent, and he had so much trust in me, and he made me drive. And then there was one instance where Maulana Mangli and myself were sitting at the back of the 4x4, and we see the vehicle slow down, look through the window in between, and we see, you know what's happening here? Ismail is moving over from the seat on the left-hand side to the right-hand side, and Ibrahim is moving over on that side because right ahead is a roadblock. So my son really appreciates the fact that, Maulana, so we had some wonderful time, we went three times together to Namibia. And once Maulana, a very, very keen fisherman as well, there was a place known as Lotswat Bachen, it was a German name, not very, very far from Swakopmund, and Maulana hit into a shark. And I'm telling you, we walked the shores for probably about 1.5 kilometers fighting that particular shark, and he eventually brought it out. We had some wonderful, wonderful moments together. So alhamdulillah, we served together at the Benoni Muslim Jamaat, and served with him as well as a vice chairman of the Benoni Muslim Jamaat, and we had our moments together as well. I remember there was one thing I think the listeners will enjoy this year. We went together fishing to St. Lucia, and on the way we would make wuzu to perform our salat.
Yes.
Now, sometimes you feel a little bit apologetic, to non-Muslims when you have to put your foot into the
basin,
yes. In the washroom. And so, Maulana was a very, very straightforward person. Him and his brother Adil Mangli, who comes onto our fishing buddies show, yes. Stable Lane, a tight line. But he, his father as well, and they once had one of the local people, in those days of apartheid, to say, but how can you wash your feet here in the basin? And so Maulana very coolly and calmly tells him, he says, listen here, you know what, you went to the toilet, right? And when you went to the toilet, you used some toilet paper, he asked the guy. So the guy says, yes. And he says, okay, so you use toilet paper with your hands and you wipe yourself clean. And yet, you didn't use any water at all. Okay, now you come in here, you're washing your hands, with which you went and clean yourself, you know what I mean, down there, and you use the term. And then he told them, he says, now, you wash your hands in this basin. My feet never even touched my, my posterior. And now I'm washing my feet. Why are you so upset with me washing my feet? I think I'm more upset with you by washing your hands. and then he says, as you know, warm blood, but in water and climb down the swim, but when you go to warm bath and you go into the water, and when you dive in there, then he says, the backside and the front side and everything is in the water, and you people are diving with your face deep into the water. What sort of a life is that, So he has a good sense of humor as well. So alhamdulillah, it was really nice. Ismail is also alhamdulillah on the program now. You remember that when we would go fishing in and my son learned a lot from him. We would come back Maulana and myself would go into the bathroom. We would have a shower, or, you know, we would have our showers finished. We would relax then a while, where Ismail is busy preparing the meals and that. And the meals are, you know, while the food is cooking, they would go and have a wash and everything. And then he'll first dish out for his father, or Maulana. So my son learned from that as well, to say that you must respect your father. First dish out for your father, and then you eat. So Maulana had a very good upbringing with his children, and he taught them this particular aspect as well. So carefree, those days, very few people did caravanning.
Jeez.
I don't know if Ismail, I'm late on the show, but Ismail will tell you that his father was a keen caravaner as well. So he caravaned. When we traveled from here to South Africa, we would take 1.5 days. We would stop, at 6 o'clock in the morning in Uppington. And Maulana would say, now, open up the trailer. Take out the braai stand. And 6 o'clock in the morning, Maulana, we're having a braai in a park in Uppington. When everybody is fast asleep. And then there's a whiff of the, you know, the bakery smell that's coming, you know, the bread and the rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd get those rolls from there and the braai early in the morning. So we had some wonderful times together, man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him jannah to the Lord.
Amen. JazakAllah so much for your time. It was
wonderful.
Evening,
Alhamdulillah.
We have a caller from the UK. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you can hear me. My name is
Yusuf. Loud and clear. We've got a few minutes. I'm just going to ask you to be a bit quick. Your input to this evening's program, please.
Yes, certainly. Certainly. I'll be very, very quick. I've been listening to your program about regarding Maulana Mangli, and I just want to inform you that I've been a learner in Actonville, and I know Maulana Mangli personally because he used to be the Imam at 7th Street Masjid, and I still remember him up to this day when we used to pray the Witkat Namaz in Ramadan. His favorite surah was Sabbihisma Rabbikal Al-Lazi. Always used to play that surah.
When he was reading the Witr
Salah. Days when he used to be in the Jamia Masjid, he used to pray the three rakats. And now, while I'm listening to your program, it's bringing back the memories.
All the memories
all
from
the
people
from Actonville. Yes, I know all those people that you mentioned. Tolls, Maulana, there was a Maulana Talajia, whatever name that was mentioned, they're all memories of the past for me.
JazakAllah so much for your time this evening.
No, I really appreciate it. It brings so much memories. I wish I could go back to Benoni.
You're most welcome to come back at Silver, inshallah. Some of the old people are still here, inshallah. But no, it's not, I'm coming back to you. It's taken up quite a bit of your time. I think you're going to have a program in the near future again. But I want to just bring you to two things if you have about 4 minutes. So one thing is, what kind of a family man was your father?
To bring you to catch you, the qualities of my father, he was he had very good akhlaq, a very great approach, a magnificent warm, you know, a warm manner and very charitable behavior at home. He was a very soft person, a very straightforward person, and his nature could, you know, he could suck himself in from the smallest toddler to the most intelligent. That's where my father, that role, it was very difficult to play, and my father could play all that. And to me, as a father, he was not only a father, he was my best and greatest friend in life. And he was very...
You just have 2 minutes left. When did your father pass away, Brother Ismail?
My father is late now, on the 29th of January, 1997. That's when he was later. 1997.
You have final concluding remarks on our program this evening?
Okay. Well, I would like to thank the Radio Islam for bringing up this topic about my father. I know many people hearing him will be touched of hearing my father's name, because up to today, when I go to mosque myself, at least once a week, I have somebody asking me about my father and the legacy that my father has left behind. And I'm so proud of that, to hear that my father has left a legacy behind, because most of the towns I travel to, when I just say Ismail Mangli, they've got a story to tell me longer than I have of my own father. I am so proud about that. And there's one little thing I want to tell you about Maulana. My father was a great sportsman. He played. He was a great fisherman, as Maulana Akhudi said. And he played tennis on a very champion level. those people who know him from the Nelspruit area and Boxford North area. He was a great tennis player. He won the championships in Boxford North, and we still carry the trophy. We still carry the trophy at home as a sportsman.
What a complete individual! Allah Subhanahu wa Taala bless you, his children, grandchildren, and his progeny with that legacy that the father, the grandfather had.
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana. Well, there's one small incident I want to mention that happened to him in his lifetime while I was with him.
Right.
Very short incident. I'm not going to take it, maybe take me 2 minutes. He was at the town out in Petersburg, Mawlana. We won't mention any names. And while he was giving a talk, like his normal question and answer talk after Isha Namaz, there was a gentleman that walked in. And this man was totally soaked up in drunkenness.
Okay.
People from the Jamaat, they got up to, you know, to normally catch him out in a harassed way. My father stopped them, took him to at the back of the quarters where he lived behind the masjid, made him to bath and asked the congregation to wait for him. Made him to bath, gave him his own kurta and pajama to wear on, and brought him and made him to sit with him in the masjid. He made himself, brought him in the masjid. And alhamdulillah, that man turned out to be one of the best. He became actually totally engrossed in Jamaat work until today.
Subhanallah, what an emotional story to conclude the program. We've come out of time, but inshallah at a later stage we'll probably open up the lines again. Jazakallah so much for your time this evening.
Jazakallah, Mara, and thank you very much for the program.
Inshallah, assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullah.
It's spot on, we're on the 10 o'clock news. Brother Faisal is on standby. Respected listeners, just a week, inshallah, we discuss Maulana Yusuf Putawala Fazadwal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. From my side, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.